This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Lord, do so many wonderful things, but one of the testimonies I'll tell you, Cheryl was so blessed with this little 9-year-old boy. He came up with his daddy, I guess it was Wednesday night. They wasn't sure they were going to be back Thursday. But Wednesday night, he came up a totally defeated 9-year-old young man. And his daddy stood behind him, didn't say nothing. And he came, I said, son, what's your problem? He whispered to Mary, he said, I wet the bed. He said, I just can't not wet the bed. I told him, I said, son, it's just a demon. I said, are you a child of the king? He said, yes. I said, you believe in Jesus? He said, yes. I said, you're not under the curse. So I'm going to break the curse because Jesus paid the price for your curse. I broke that curse, rebuked the devil, commanded him to leave. And I said, now then, guarantee you won't wet the bed no more. The next night when that boy come to church and he walked in, you would thought we were talking about two entirely different boys. He brought his mother, his daddy, his sisters. I mean, everything. Everybody was there. And when he walked up to me after church was over, he walked up just as bold as a lion. And he said, I'm a brand new man. Cheryl loved that. She said, if I hadn't seen God do nothing else except heal that little boy, she said it was worth it the whole trip for that one little boy. But we got to see the Lord do wonderful things. We got to see one man and one woman that had surgery on their arms, could only lift them about this high. We prayed the prayer of faith for them, and then I told them, you know, it always amazes people when they tell you they can't lift their arm but this high. Oh, it hurts right here. Well, you say, well, let's just pray and ask the Lord to heal it, and he will. And you do, and you say, now lift it up. And they say, right now? Well, yeah, do we believe God or not? And especially the man, when he started up with his arm, and the higher the arm got, the bigger his eyes got. And he's running around the church with his arm. I couldn't do this before. I couldn't do this before. Praise the Lord. It's fun serving Jesus, isn't it, Eldon? I'm telling you. And while we were gone, of course, I want to thank Dave for last Sunday, you know, for filling in with his great and awesome knowledge of the Word. I mean, you know, the man, who would ever dream that in Numbers 33, all that stuff's in there? You know, I mean, but the Lord, Paul did tell us, hey, these things that they did were examples for us. And we look at that and think, what's he talking about? Well, when you take a man that diligently gets in the Word and studies it and digs into it, you begin to think, hey, there ain't no bottom to this book. There ain't no bottom. You know, just about time you think you got some, you read a chapter like Numbers 33 and you say, there ain't nothing in there. Oh, the Lord said, you don't know what I got in there. You just dig in there. And then today, coming down, Cheryl and I listened to Eldon's teaching on Tuesday night, your breaking point. Do you have one? Where is your breaking point? Let me tell you, everybody's got one. You know, but you know what we're going to have to learn to do? We're going to have to learn to capture and control that breaking point so we don't have it. I thought about him, and he was telling that story about the guy that was helping him when he dropped the compressor on his foot. I don't know if y'all heard that story or not. Some of you might not have been here at Bible study Tuesday night. But to think what can happen when you stay in faith. Now, Eldon is a faith man. I will say he's a faith man. And when that guy dropped the compressor, I mean a big, heavy compressor, right on his toe. You know, now that, I don't know if any of y'all ever done the air conditioning working up, but we're not talking about a little bitty tiny 2 or 3 pound weight. We're talking about a compressor. It takes 2 men to pick it up. And he dropped his in, and of course Eldon couldn't hold it by himself, so it fell on his foot and mashed his toe. And as long as he stayed in control, as long as he walked in love, he had no pain, no nothing. He was totally okay when he was walking in faith. But the guy kept saying, it's got to hurt. And finally, after about 15 minutes, Eldon reached his breaking point, and he lost it. And when he did, the minute the blood pressure rose, that's when he felt the blood flow into his toe, and his toe began to hurt like crazy. See? Now, if he could have stayed in faith and stayed in love, he wouldn't. You see why the enemy keeps working on you to get you out of that love walk? Because when you step out of that love walk, nothing works. Faith does not work except you walk in love. If we could only master that and get in that and walk in that love. I mean, that's when the king, that's when after he said, if you'll obey me and love, you know, I mean, I see Keith hugging that beautiful thing up over there. Oh, I mean, now there's a man that loves his wife and his wife loves him. But you know, that's what God told us to do, wasn't it, Keith? He told us to love. In fact, one of the nights up there, I don't remember which night it was, but I had recognized that so many of the women that came up when Cheryl would ask them the question that have a certain problem, she said, do you love yourself? And many of them would hesitate. And she said, you know, that's your problem. You don't love yourself. Well, yeah, there has been a problem there. I know that. So after two or three nights of that, one night I thought, you know, at the end of the service, I thought, you know, pretty nice crowd of people there. I said, I want everybody here that's married and that your spouse is here with you. I want only the married couples to stand. And so people stood all over the place. I said, now then, I want all of you to get with your mate. If you're on one end and the kids are in between, I want the two of you to get together where you're right together. And then I want that man to put his arms around you and pull you up face to face. And I want him to look deeply into your eyes and tell you how much he loves you. And then I want you to tell him how much you love him. And then I said, then I want you to give each other a wonderful kiss. And man, they did it right there in the church. Praise God. One of the ladies told me after him, she come up, she said, you can do that every night if you want to. I said, I loved it. Now, ladies, let's be truthful now. How many of you girls like for your husband to tell you he loves you and that you're beautiful? Nancy, raise that hand. I know you girls like to be told you're beautiful and that you're loved. You know, that's, I mean, every girl likes that. Girl, don't they, Ernest? They like that. Sure they do. You know, so I know they do. And because think, as Christians, when we walk in the God kind of love, that's when the king says, now, Ernest, you can come and ask me for anything and I'll do it for you. And that's where you want to get, right? That's where I want to get too. Is that right, Benjamin? That's where we want to get. So praise the Lord. We had a great week up there in Chanute, Kansas. And last night, I got into the Word. And I mean, I couldn't figure out what I was going to do today. I mean, you know, I've been busy in the Word all week. And so I got into the book. I said, Lord, what do I do? I read the entire book of Malachi two times. And then I thought, Lord, I went back over to the Old Testament. I read a whole bunch in a couple of the Old Testament books. And then I came over to Galatians. I read it completely twice. And, you know, then I got over to the book of Matthew. And I read for 30 minutes or an hour there. And then about 9 o'clock, I thought, oh, my goodness, I got to call Ty and tell him something. And so I called him about 9 or 9:15. And I thought, just tell him something real quick because I got to study. And about 5 minutes later, I looked at my watch and it was 10:20. You know, isn't it amazing how quick time goes by? I told him, I said, oh, my last time's past your bedtime. I know I got to get off this phone and I got some studying to do. So I finally, after all the places I went and all the books I read in the Bible last night, I finally wound up in the book of Hebrews. And finally at 3 o'clock this morning, I finished this outline. So we're going to talk about Hebrews chapter 12 today. God showed me some wonderful things in Hebrews 12 last night and the wee hours this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for being our Lord, our God. I thank you for giving us this wonderful book. I thank you for these promises that are in here. And I thank you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And that you're our Lord. And you tell us if we will diligently seek you in your word, you will reveal yourself to us and show us great and mighty things that we know not. Father, thank you for the word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. And I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, I've got the scriptures today. I'm going to do most of the teaching in the NLT, the New Living Translation. But I will be referring back and forth once in a while. I studied this chapter 12 in many different translations last night, but the three I finally settled on was the NLT, the King James, and the New King James. So I read it many times in both of these. But then after I sat down and really began to meditate on what it said in the NLT, I thought, this is the clearest of all. King James, New King James, NLT, and NLT was the clearest. So I will read most of it to you today out of the entire, out of the NLT. Now, in the first part, in Hebrews 12, the first portion of this, the first few verses, is going to be talking about God's discipline proves His love to us. This is what it's about. God's discipline. How many of you like to be disciplined? I mean, y'all just like me. I put both hands behind my back. I don't like to be disciplined. Do you? I mean, I never did like for Daddy to say, son, come over here. I've got the razor strap here. I'm going to give you about five licks. I never did learn to like that. You didn't either, did you, Eldon? No. But we all had to be disciplined. And if you didn't have a daddy that disciplined you, in fact, I was thinking about Dave Rosenfeld and their little guy, which is running around the ministry center now. I mean, man, it was something else when he was crawling around the place. But now, when we come home this week, when we left, he's crawling. Now then, he's walking. Not only walking, he's running. I mean, he is wheeling and dealing. And we already, as Dave well knows, he's already his own little man. You know, he wants things his way. You know, he don't want to wait on Daddy. And every once in a while, he gets excited. And every once in a while, in fact, I got real tickled. Dave went down to one of the stores and bought him some wooden spoons. I think he bought four. I thought, boy, he really must think this boy is going to be a bad boy. Instead of just buying one, he bought four long wooden spoons. And so when the boy doesn't do what he's supposed to do, he gets a little swat, you know, just a little stinging swat with this wooden spoon. But it doesn't take much till he just straightens right up. It's amazing how they understand even at 1 year old. You know that? Of course, I know that because I've already raised mine and I learned that lesson. But I want you to see what God says about discipline, about not only in the physical world, but in the spiritual world, because that's what this is involved in the first part of this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, in the NLT says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, there's a huge, nothing to slow me down. And then he says, especially you time with him, you know, you spent money and car, and we get involved in, and we don't even think they're sin. But those sins are hindering us in this faith walk.
We have to stop right there. But if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.